don't be afraid to invest. I think one of the things that I see a lot of times is people say, I want to make six figures a month, but I don't want to spend a dime. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, the barrier to entry in marketing and internet marketing space is super low, way lower than buying a McDonald's. Okay. It's really small, but it's not zero and you shouldn't expect it to be. Invest in yourself, invest in people that you trust, and you'll get that investment back tenfold or a hundredfold or a thousandfold over time.
You're listening to The Growth Booth, the show focused on achieving lifestyle freedom through online businesses. Whether you're looking for step-by-step strategies to start building an online business, simple game plans to grow your business, or proven lifestyle freedom frameworks, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the thousands of listeners already in growth mode.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Growth Booth. We are episode number 82 here today, and I'm joined with a special guest who I'm going to give you a bit of an introduction to right here, right now, because this is part of our Decoding Success series. And this is, in fact, the fourth episode where we've had a special guest come in and share a little bit about their story and about how they have cracked the code, as it were, to seeing success online. Now, the person that I've got with us here today is someone who I've first met online, seven, 8 years ago. I don't even remember at this point, but he's a guy who's been around the block many, many times in the online world, and is someone who seems to have a track record where anything he's really set his mind to, he's been able to build an income around online. So we've got Mark Mason coming in today from Texas. I've really got to know Mark over the past few years as a member of our Blueprint Academy mastermind. And, we've hit golf balls together. We've had many, many different conversations in person and online as well. So Mark, thanks for taking some time out of your day to be with us.
It's really great to be here. It's been more than 7 years, certainly. Maybe we met or, had a face-to-face conversation that time ago. But gosh, man, I've been following you since you got together with Steve. And
it must have been 10 or 15 years.
I have learned so much from you over the last decade. So here's my opportunity to publicly say thank you. It's been amazing.
Oh, dude, let me thank you because, you've been there and you've implemented and you've got a lot of results to show for it. So maybe you could start by giving a little bit of a background to your journey. Why did you want to get started with an online business in the first place? And what are some of the different things that you've done over the years online?
Yeah, so I have a management position in a extremely large electronics company here in Dallas, and it's got a worldwide footprint, and I love that job. I'm different than a lot of the cubicle escape stories that you hear online. I love my day job, but back in 2007, 2009 timeframe, when the economy turned down, I was put in a position where I had to lay a bunch of people off, and that it worked out for me. I actually got a promotion in that crazy time. But I realized that I really wanted to have a plan B. And so I started looking at online business opportunities, what I could do. And I saw this story on CBS about a guy who was a plumber who wrote down everything he knew about plumbing on the internet. And he started making money with AdSense. And I thought, I know things. I can write them down. I can make AdSense websites. And that's how it's all started. And that was back in 2007.
It's crazy. And AdSense is one of the things that we're still doing today. And talking about content creation, it's a little bit different today compared to 2007 when, we were both getting started doing that kind of a thing. Because now you've got these AI tools where you can say, give me a 1,000-word article about how to unblock a pipe, and Right. Voila, you'll get it. So it's amazing how a lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have just stayed the same.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I think that's one of the great things about investing in, that's how I think about it, in learning about internet marketing and related businesses, is really it's tools for a toolkit. And that toolkit is, for the most part, evergreen. Some details around the particular tools or the exact methodologies will evolve over time, but the fundamental concepts of matching offers with buyers, that's what marketing is really about. Yeah. That fundamental concept and the way we can do that, that's evergreen and fundamental. And so you can just build on that as you learn about marketing, and really that's the way to really build a business in the online space, in my opinion.
Was AdSense the first thing that really sort of started working for you, or was there something else, affiliate marketing or something else that you did early on that you sort of, that gave you proof of concept that, oh yeah, this does actually work for me?
Yeah, I the first time I ever made a dime, I made 69 cents in AdSense revenue, $60.69. Okay. And that was the most exciting 69 cents I'd ever seen, because I realized immediately if I could make 69 cents, I could make $6.90 or $69 or $600. And so that really uncorked it for me. The first time I really made recurring revenue was with AdSense as well, where I put up a small website that talked about how to get into law school. And I wrote some articles about that, and that generated $5 a day for a couple of years. And that was amazing. But as far as something that really worked, I think the thing that always has worked for me, that I always have come back to, has been affiliate marketing of various flavors. That is a thing that applies across so many different niches and in so many different businesses, even for brick and mortar businesses. This can be a fantastic way. So as far as the thing that's really worked, a lot of things have worked, but I think affiliate marketing is the one that I point to as something that continues to work year in and year out for more than a decade.
Well, this is another one of the models that, you know, the more things change, the more they sort of stay the same, because the affiliate marketing websites that I'm building now are actually very similar to what we were doing almost a couple of decades ago. We use different tools and different technology, and you know, they're a lot more sophisticated than, you know, when we used to build things. I don't know about you, but I used to use Dreamweaver. What did you use to build your pages?
Well, a thing called Front Page or something
Front
like
page.
That. It was the
Microsoft Front Page,
the competing software to Dreamweaver. Yeah.
Right. We had this little FTP uploading system, and even uploading pages in the time of dial-up for a while there, where, you know, you'd have a tiny page and it would take a little bit of time to upload. So we're past that now. We can get things published very, very quickly, but the foundations of the model really haven't changed all that much. What were some of the biggest challenges that you saw when you were you know, dipping your toes in the water and starting to get established as an online marketer?
Yeah, I tell you, by far, I mean, I distinctly remember deciding I wanted to do this and starting to search on the internet, just like everyone does. I mean, this was really before YouTube was the massive thing that it is now. And so just reading, and I couldn't even make sense of the words. And I remember, you know, now I understand that there are people like you that offer plans that you can follow that are vetted and are shown to work, that are based on experience. But then I remember this sort of feeling of drowning in a sea of information. And frankly, a lot of it ended up being misinformation, and having to wade through all that. And that, you know, that is a journey that I would not ever repeat. Not just in marketing, but just in general. I would never try to just completely figure out things on my own from scratch ever again. I understand the value of proven systems from proven instructors. And so that's a big lesson learned for me that goes all the way back to 2007, 2009.
Well, that was the same for me between 2005 to 2007, where to your point, there really weren't the same types of online courses and blueprints available back then. In fact, I remember going to offline seminars where people would come in and they would, you know, give you an overview and they'd do their pitch, and I'd buy these offline like books, like printouts, folders with information, and then take it home and try to do it. Or even I remember buying an online course, I can't remember who did it, but it was a pack of CDs. And I took the CDs home, put them in my computer, and it was actually about affiliate marketing. So fair to say we've advanced a fair bit since then. What about mistakes that you made either way back at the beginning? Obviously, you mentioned trying to sort of use trial and error to learn everything yourself. That was one. Any other mistakes that you made early on in your online marketing career, or even recently that you would share with folks?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes that new entrepreneurs make, and I certainly made, and I still have to fight against today, is just the shiny object syndrome. And the truth is, there's no substitute for time over target and hard work in building businesses. And by hard work, I don't really mean it's truly hard. I just mean that you need to do some work. You need to create value to get value. And I think, you know, it's easy to fall in this trap of working on something that sounds exciting, encountering a difficulty, and then jumping to the next thing rather than sorting out what's happening and staying the course. Most people that I've interacted with that fail in online business, as you know very well, they fail because they quit too soon. And so I'm not different than that. I had that same issue where I, you know, didn't stay the course. And so that's a big mistake that I made and that I continue to guard against even today, more than a decade later.
And how have you been able to learn to sort of balance building your online business with holding down a day job and the family and everything else that, you know, life throws at you? Because I think this is one of the tricky areas, challenges. It's not necessarily a mistake, but certainly a challenge that people face when they realize, oh, you know, I'm trying to start this online business, but I've also got my family and in a lot of cases a day job as well. How have you managed that? Do you set time aside? What's your sort of idea around that?
Yeah, I have two simple things that I keep at the top of the list when I'm answering that kind of question. One is, it's really critical that even for me, after doing this for so long, that I stay completely crystal clear about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that needs to be a really good reason. And if you know exactly why you're doing what you're doing, that really helps you decide what you should be doing if you know why you're doing the things that you're doing. And that includes hard questions like, should I go to my son's baseball game or listen to a webinar, right? I mean, I need to know why, how that fits in. And the reality is, you know, a lot of people will tell you, well, you just got to knuckle down and hustle. And I think that's great. If you can do that, knuckling down and hustling and skipping sleep and all these things are at least short-term options. They're not very good long-term options. But the one thing I would say is, make sure that you do something, even if it's just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, make sure that you do something to move your business forward each and every day without fail. And I mean something that's actually intentional and productive, not checking Facebook. I'm talking about actually taking an action, a small action that will move your business forward. And what happens is sometimes by accident, those 5 minute sessions turn into 30 minute sessions or an hour. Sometimes that small thing that you did snowballs into something much bigger. And what happens is when you aggregate those small, consistent steps over a year or a couple of years or a decade, you're going to like the results because you've got intentional, focused progress that's continuous. It builds on itself. That's the biggest advice that I always give people that are just starting out, is to make sure you're making consistent progress. And the reverse of that, the terrible thing is, oh, I didn't do anything yesterday, and now I didn't do anything this week, and suddenly a month has gone by and you haven't made progress on anything. And what do you do at that point? You just give up. And so that daily progress, not only is it a catalyst for something much, much bigger, it also puts you in the right mindset to be successful because you're keeping what's important top of mind.
Today's show is brought to you by the Blueprint Academy, a coaching service that I've been providing for about 8 years now. If you're interested in getting one-on-one coaching from me and my team of experts, as well as being able to leverage the resources and infrastructure that I've got in my business, then head over to thegrowthbooth.com/academy to get all the details. I'm passionate about helping people build businesses online, and this is where I can help you. So again, head over to that link, thegrowthbooth.com/academy, and find out how we can help you at the Blueprint Academy today.
Yeah, couldn't agree with more of that. And I think key thing to add to that, and you mentioned it a moment ago, was that you need to have a plan that you're sort of working towards, because you could be taking action every single day, but if it's not deliberate action, if it's not action that's aligned with where you want to get to one day in the future, then you're just making progress in any old direction, and that's not going to get you to the finish line. So how do you fit that in? Do you get up early in the morning? Do you tinker on things during lunchtime? Have you got a flexible work schedule? How do you actually manage to do that with a family and a day job?
Yeah, all of the above, and sometimes creatively. So in the, you know, early in the morning works. Sometimes, depending on what's going on, driving in the car, for example, yeah. I listen to this podcast in my car, and what am I really doing there? I'm learning, right? I'm sharpening the saw, as Stephen Covey would say. But more than that, sometimes I've gotten creative, like involving my children in my business. So yeah. As you well know, my, at the time, 14-year-old son and I, we sold $50,000 worth of stuff online following one of your programs. And that was something that we did together. And yeah. So I was able to check two check boxes. One was I was able to validate that business model and incorporate that into my business. But two, I got to spend time with my son, and we, you know, we still talk about that summer today when we did that.
Yeah.
And you know, he's constantly asking me, you know, when's Aiden coming out with something new? I'm ready to do the next thing, you know? So it's, you can be creative, and do that. And, you know, the other thing is, it's good to communicate with the people in your life that you're balancing with, right? So that they understand when you're not in there watching the 47th episode of Survivor with them, it's because you're doing a thing and it has this why behind it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're going to be part of that why, and they're going to understand and support you. And so open communication in those situations is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, I think managing expectations is always a key thing in any kind of relationship, be it business, be it personal, be it with kids. It's an easy way to avoid breakdown in communication and issues that come with that. You spoke about getting help from your son. How about getting help from other people, like virtual assistants, outsourcing? Do you do any outsourcing or hire any online services or anything?
Yeah, I've used virtual assistants both in the you know, sort of in the small way, like from something simple like Fiverr. I've hired people off of Upwork or similar sites like that over the years. And I have one virtual assistant that's been with me since 2009. She still works with me today. And I've had virtual assistants come and go depending on the need. For example, when I was heavy in e-commerce, I hired someone that my virtual assistant knew to write product listings for me when I was doing massive numbers of listings per day. Yeah. So depending on what the needs are, absolutely. And, you know, I've had people tell me, well, you shouldn't be hiring people from offshore and using virtual assistants like that. One virtual assistant that I hired left her job as a nurse to come work for me because I was paying her more than she was making as a nurse. So not only am I able to get help that I need at a cost that I can afford, I feel like I'm making a lot of people's lives better when I'm distributing this work around the world.
Oh, totally. It's a win-win both ways. Yeah, I mean, you get to tap into some great knowledge, oftentimes knowledge that's very qualified, talent that's qualified. But yeah, for sure. I mean, the opportunity for someone in a developing country, and we often use the Philippines as one of our big sources.
Yes.
We use India, China, Pakistan, South America as well. And, you know, paying in US dollars goes a long way in these places. I live in Argentina, and I can tell you, you know, down here, if someone makes 1,000 US dollars a month, that's a pretty good salary down yeah. here for a lot of people. So, you know, money can go a long, long way when you're, you know, outsourcing offshore. Now, the last thing I really want to sort of dive into here, and this has already been an absolute, you know, honeypot, a gold mine of ideas here, but how has your mindset changed? Because, you know, when you started your online business, you were dipping your toes in the water. You were, you know, trying out different things to figure out what worked. Nowadays, I mean, you've been around the block. It's probably an easier question to explain the things you haven't done online versus the things that you have done because you've tried basically everything. How's your mindset changed and developed over the past, you know, 15 plus years that you've been doing this?
Yeah, I think I have built several small businesses over the years inside of this umbrella of internet marketing. And you know, many have been successful. And by success, I mean have been profitable, right? And the challenge is I built a couple of businesses that weren't any fun to run at all. I mean, they were terrible, and they had, you know, terrible customer service burdens or other things that just didn't light my fire. I like to do things like we're doing now. I like to help people. I like to solve interesting marketing problems and win at marketing, but I'm not really very interested in filling things in boxes and so forth. And so one of the big mindset shifts for me is making sure that as I build a business out, that I make sure that I'm doing the things that I really want to do. And I'm making sure that other people, I can find people that want to do the things that I don't want to do. You know, the classic example is accounting. I'm terrible at accounting. Can I do it? Sure. I have 1,000 hours of math in college as a result of engineering. Do I want to? Absolutely not. And so one big mind shift has been this idea of making sure that I work on things that I really enjoy, because that makes it not like work. And then the second thing I would say is that I'm starting to move more from a person who's interested in a lot of things and trying a lot of things and doing different things to building a sustainable business that can take me into retirement. Because at this time, I've been at my current day job for 30 years. Okay. Yeah. So pretty soon might be a good time for me to do something new full time. And that might be internet marketing. And so I'm looking for moving, I think, transitioning from side hustle mode, which is what I'd call what I've been in for the last decade, to full time, in quotes, full time entrepreneur mode, where that's really the only thing that I worked on day to day.
Yeah. I think when you decide and go through that, sort of make that firm decision and say, you know, from here on forward, this is what I'm going to be focusing on. You've already spoken multiple times here about the why and how that's the fire that keeps you going. When you combine those two things, and if you find a recipe that can kind of guide you there, it's then just a case of waking up each morning and taking those small steps forward. To your point, that small amount of deliberate action each day. And I feel like for people who do that, it's only a question of time until they're absolutely crushing it. Now, the last question I've got for you here, you know, for the person that's listening to this podcast who hasn't seen that success online yet or is not at the point where they've earned hundreds of thousands of dollars online, what advice would you give them as they're starting out or pursuing this journey of online business?
Yeah, four simple and quick pieces of advice. One is know exactly why you're doing it. What are you trying to accomplish? And try to be running towards something instead of away from something. That's maybe another whole podcast episode we could talk about understanding your why, but don't be just trying to avoid a job you don't like. Try and build something you love. So know why you're doing what you're doing. The second thing is, I already mentioned, make steps towards your goal every day, right? even if it's a tiny little baby step, make continuous forward progress that will integrate over time, and amazing things will happen if you're able to accomplish that. And then the third thing that I would say is avoid being the person who quits just before the magic happens. I think that I see that mistake all the time. And then the fourth thing I'll say before I give you the bonus tip is make sure you have a great plan. I mean, you've got to have a solid plan. Don't just wander around in the desert for 25 years and expect magic to happen. Have a plan. And what goes with that, and this would be the bonus tip, is be responsible financially, but don't be afraid to invest. I think one of the things that I see a lot of times is people say, I want to make six figures a month, but I don't want to spend a dime. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, the barrier to entry in marketing and internet marketing space is super low, way lower than buying a McDonald's. Okay. It's really small, but it's not zero and you shouldn't expect it to be. Invest in yourself, invest in people that you trust, and you'll get that investment back tenfold or 100-fold or 1,000-fold over time.
That's brilliant. And I think it's a great way to sum this, this everything here that we've spoken about up. And we're going to make sure that you can get a transcript and all the notes and everything else, as always, over at episode number 82 of The Growth Booth. Mark, I know that you've got a podcast as well. I'd love for you to share how people can find that and listen to some of the different episodes that you've put out. I know you've got some great episodes there. So how can people find out about where your podcast is?
Well, thank you very much. My podcast is called Late Night Internet Marketing, for obvious reasons, because I work on my internet business late at night, and I come at internet marketing from the perspective of a side hustler. So just look me up in Apple Music and you'll find me. I'm also at latenightinternetmarketing.com.
Perfect. Easy peasy. We'll make sure we get that link, the transcript and everything else in the show notes, which you'll get over at episode number 82 of The Growth Booth. Thank you once again, Mark. Real pleasure to have you here. As always, it's fantastic to catch up with you, and hopefully next time we are in person catching up. So everyone else listening to the show, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week for the next episode of The Growth Booth. Bye for now.